Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from Genesis 8. I read three verses, verses 20 through 22. Genesis 8, verses 22 through 22 are the text verses for the sermon. They will read as follows. And Noah buildeth an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from the youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. The theme of the sermon is an altar of gratitude. We have 3 points. First, the first point, Noah first built an altar unto the Lord. Second, God pays attention to these sacrifices. And third, the merciful faithfulness of God. So the theme is an altar of gratitude. 3 points. Noah first built an altar unto the Lord. Second, God pays attention to the sacrifices. And thirdly, the merciful faithfulness of God. Congregation, it happened that there was a young lady, a woman in India, and she was seriously sick of the disease. And so she came in the hospital, and there she received treatment. And that's not the only thing she received there. She also received the gospel there. Someone brought the joyful tidings of grace by the work of Christ, and it touched her heart. It changed her life. She got to know the great gift of salvation, of forgiveness of her sins. And she became a joyful lady also, although she was so sick. She had such a serious disease. And a certain day she asked a doctor, Doctor, how long do I have to live? If I stay here in hospital. And the doctor told her, you have 3 months. That's what I esteem. That's what I guess. 3 months to live. And then she asked, how long do I have to live if I leave the hospital and will not get this treatment here? The doctor says, well, 3 weeks. 3 weeks to live. And then she said, I will go. I will go. I will leave the hospital. He said, why would you do that? It will shorten your life. She said, I have to speak to my people. I have to tell my people about Christ, about Jesus, about His work. They have to know. Otherwise they will perish. So she did. She left the hospital to die in 3 weeks, but to bring the gospel to her people, to speak about eternal life to them. So you could say, she sacrificed. She sacrificed those months of her life so that they could gain eternal life. It was a fruit of gratitude, a fruit of the grace of Christ in her heart. Gratitude is such a powerful thing. If there is sincere gratitude because of what the Lord has provided, it will change everything in our lives, isn't it? Oh, we do know salvation is free by grace. There's nothing that we accomplish and add to this work of the Lord. It is for sinners. It is for people who have ruined their lives. For people who cannot make up for what they have done against their Creator. this never is a cause for the flesh. This never can be, this never should be, it never may be. It cannot be that you will say, okay, if it is grace, if it is for free, if it is by faith alone, then I can just live for the pleasure of the flesh and sin in this world. That's not possible. You understand that. Children of God, you know that that is not possible. The love of Christ in your heart, the gratitude because of this great gift of salvation, which you do not deserve and you never deserve, it will change everything. It will make you prepared and ready like this lady to sacrifice for the Lord because of gratitude. We've read the history of Noah, who left the ark, and the first thing he did is to build an altar to sacrifice to the Lord. He didn't think, oh, let me first build a house, a shelter, a place to live. I've been long enough in this ark. I build a house for myself. No, the first thing he did is to build an altar. After this horrible calamity, you could say the worst calamity in the world of the flood. We cannot even imagine what that was. But we do read it in Scripture. We read in chapter 7 that that day when the flood came, that same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. It rained, water came, the earth opened, and water was everywhere. It came from heaven, it came from beneath, and it was prevailing over the earth, above the tops of the mountains and the hills, and all life on earth was destroyed. Every creature died except for those that were in the ark. God saved Noah and his family, his wife, his sons, and their wives. They were safe. And it took a long time, months and months. They were in the ark, taking care of the animals that God had brought in the ark, and God kept them in this time of great destruction, the flood. It must have been horrible for them to think about that everything died outside of the ark. At the same time, there must have been a deep gratitude in the heart that God had saved them, provided a way and a place to be safe, to be kept. The ark is such a beautiful picture of Christ. We have to be in Christ to be safe. When the day of judgment will come, there will be a day like the flood. No, not by water anymore. But there will be a day that there will be fire on the earth, like cleaning the world, like God was washing the world from sin in the days of Noah. There will be the day of the second coming of Christ, and there will be fire like purging the earth, like cleaning from all the iniquity and all sin, to create new earth and new heavens. The only way to be safe for that future is to be in Christ. It's the most important question on this day of Thanksgiving. Are you secure? Is your soul saved by the work of Christ? Can you say, yes, I know. I know of the power of the blood of Christ in my life by faith. I have found peace in the work of the Lord Jesus. If you can say that, you also know something of that horrible reality, the devastating reality of sin. If you think about Noah, how he at a certain day could leave the ark. God spake unto Noah, saying, "Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." If you can think about the situation, what it was for them to leave the ark and to see this whole earth and the devastation of the flood. Everything was ruined of the beautiful creation of God. That's how Noah saw it. And that's a result of sin. And when you know the security in Christ, you have also seen something of the destruction of sin, the devastating power of sin in your own life, in your own experience, in your own heart. That's the question I asked this morning. Did you have some insight? Did you receive some insight in what sin has caused in this world, but also in your personal life? I mean, if we don't have any understanding of the devastating power of sin, like Noah could see it everywhere, if you have no understanding of what it has caused, how it has ruined our lives, how depraved our hearts are by nature, we have no understanding of the miracle of the saving power of the work of Christ. Those two belong together. I'm not saying that you can have a full insight. No, that would be too much for us. That you have some insight. How much do I have to know of sin before I can come to Christ? That's the question people sometimes ask. Well, so much that you will come. That you see so much of the need in your life that you will come to the Lord Jesus. That you will give up to try to make up by yourself, so that you can stand before a holy God. Did you come to that point that you saw enough of the impossibility in your own life so that you would come to Christ? That's a simple question, isn't it? Was there a point in your life, was there a process in your life that you lost everything that could give you any hope to be saved? That you lost everything outside of Christ. Like Paul says, when the law came in, I died. It became hopeless for him. He saw God is judging also over my heart, and I cannot change my heart. So that you see, the corruption is too deep. I cannot heal it. I cannot pay for it. My sins are too many. And Paul says, I died. He lost all hope in what he had in himself. But then he says, but Christ is alive in me. He lives in me. And what I live through the Son of God. So that you find in the Lord Jesus such a deep comfort. So, something of that experience, is it in your life? You see Noah, how he left the ark after all these months. He was so looking forward. He let the birds go, the raven and the dove came back. And then he waited another week, and she came back with a leaf in her mouth. And then he waited another week, and then the Lord spoke that he could leave the ark. Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons, and bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh. God has kept so that there could be life on the earth, that there would be animals to provide and cattle, and that they would be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl. And they all came out of the ark. And then the next thing we read, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. So you could say, here's a new start. And Noah is, the first thing he does is to build an altar. And that's so great to read that. Why is that so important to read that he built an altar? Well, the altar is the place of communion with God. The altar is the place of atonement with God. The altar is the way to approach the holy God, but at the same time the God of mercy and grace. The God who came immediately in paradise with his promise that he would send the way of salvation. So Noah, the first thing he does is to build an altar. God is making a new start after he has washed this world from sin. And then the first thing is Noah builds an altar. I hope that you can say, God has made a new start in my life. We need a new beginning in our life. We need a total change of our life. We need regeneration by the power of the Word and the Spirit. But the result will be that we live with an altar in our life. That we live with the way of atonement in our life. In other words, that we live with Christ. Like Noah is building an altar to have communion with God, to show gratitude, to sacrifice animals for gratitude, but also to see in the blood of those animals that there is a way of atonement, a way of reconciliation, a way to have communion with the holy God. Sinful people can have communion with the holy God by the blood of atonement, by Christ. So the new start in our lives is that moment that we look to the cross, that moment that we start to live at the feet of the cross, that we depend on the work of Christ, that we see the great comfort in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the wrath of God is taken away from us, where it was laid upon Christ. And so, that's not something that you experience once. When you come to Christ to find this peace in the work of Christ, that's a change of your life, and from that day you have to see it every day, isn't it? I hope that's what we can say. When I start my new day, before I start my labor, before I start to do my work, I need an altar. I need a place of worship. I need to find communion with God. And I find it when I open His Word and I read His Word and His promises. And I see that the Word is pointing to Christ, the Son of God. Then I'm ready to start my day. The first thing Noah did is to build an altar. A sign of gratitude, but also a way of communion with God. That you can say, that you have to say, I cannot start my day without seeking that altar, without that sight of Christ. Well, maybe you say, I know that Christ died upon a cross, but we need to experience that power again and again in our lives. There is a first repentance, conversion in the life of God's children, but it's also a daily thing. That we daily repent at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we daily confess our weakness, our impossibility, but also His sufficiency and our gratitude about the work that He has done. That makes our day, isn't it? That provides for our day. Noah's building an altar. He couldn't start in this world, start over without this altar. God had to be there in His life and in His family. Well, it doesn't mean that Noah was a perfect man in himself. He certainly was not. It was the goodness of God that God had provided righteousness in the life of Noah, and that God spared him. But pretty soon we see Noah drunk in his tent and naked. He was not different from us. He was not better in himself. But God had worked in his life and provided righteousness. And God is the same. He is still providing righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And you can receive it by faith. Then God imputes it to you. And then you start to understand this way of life, that you need an altar. That you need a place to find communion with God. That you need your time of devotion. That the work of the Lord has to be strengthened and experienced again and again in your life. And so Noah is sacrificing to the Lord. He took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. He took of every clean beast. Yes, our sacrifices have to be clean from a heart that is living by faith. It makes a real difference. We read here that God smelled a sweet savor. That's our second thought. God smelled a sweet savor. And what does it mean? God smelled the savor of this sacrifice, but it was sweet. Well, what is the deepest secret of this sweet savor? Because we read also in the book of Genesis about Cain and Abel, those two brothers. And they both sacrificed, and God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, but not of Cain. There was a difference. What was the difference? Well, the one was sacrificing from his flock, from his cattle, and Cain was sacrificing from the fruits of the field. Was that the deepest difference? You could say in the sacrifice of the animal, you saw the blood. Yes, that's true. There might be also that you have to say there was an awareness in the heart of Abel. There has to be blood. But the deepest difference was the heart of those two that sacrificed. In what attitude are we sacrificing to the Lord? Is it a heart that is seeking grace, that is full of a desire, a hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God? Or is it a heart that is not changed, that is still full of pride and selfishness, not humble before the Lord, with an attitude of a Pharisee? The Lord has to be thankful that I bring this sacrifice. That is so different. Do you see that? It makes all the difference. And we can tell clearly that Cain had not a changed heart, because he was so angry when he felt that God accepted the sacrifice of Abel, when he saw it and not his sacrifice, that he killed his brother. It was all about himself. That's a picture of the old self-centered man. And that sacrifice has not a sweet savor. It's not for God, it's for me, and it is about me. That's how we are by nature, and that has to change. That's the work of the Spirit, that we will be broken and humble before God. And when we see all the blessings of this past year and season, we have to say, "Oh Lord, I do not deserve any of those blessings. Like I am in myself before Thee. Lord, it's a real miracle that I am not consumed by Thy righteous wrath." Is that something you understand? Is that something you have ever seen It is so clear in the Word. The Word is not hiding it. No, it says here, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That's clear, isn't it? The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. That's about you, and that's about me. And I have to say, yes, Lord, this is true. This is a description of my heart. And we don't like that, is it? It's offending us. The gospel is against us to break all pride. But it is for us to heal us, to make us acceptable in Christ, that we will see in Him, only in Him, I can stand before God. So the Lord smelled this sweet savor. He is sacrificing from every clean beast. He doesn't keep anything behind. So on a day of Thanksgiving, we also sacrifice. And we sacrifice every time we come before the Lord, we sacrifice. And if we think about what we should sacrifice, it's a good biblical line that we sacrifice a tenth part of what the Lord is providing in our lives, that we sacrifice it for the Lord, for the church, for the mission work, for any work in the kingdom of God. That's not too much, is it? One of 10 parts for the Lord, that the Lord is giving so abundantly to us. Would we desire to keep more than those 9 parts for ourselves? That would not be a sign of gratitude in our hearts to sacrifice with a willing heart. God is loving those that cheerfully sacrifice for the Lord. And He will bless that. But at the same time, Scripture is so clear that the Lord is worthy to receive so much more. So it's not that we say you are not allowed to sacrifice more than 10% of what the Lord has provided. But even if you sacrifice more, the Lord is asking everything in your life. He's requiring everything in your life. Scripture is so clear about it. If you think about what's written in Romans 12, for example, I beseech, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So the Lord wants you. He is requiring your heart, your whole life. What does it mean that the Lord wants us to sacrifice our bodies? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Well, He is our Creator. And He is our Recreator. He is the one who is restoring man who has fallen in sin. So He has all the right to receive everything we have. Our time, our strength, our energy, our capacities, our possessions. It all belongs to the Lord. There's nothing that we have from ourselves. He has provided everything. And someone said, well, you can say that, but I worked hard for it. You know, and I had good insight. I made right decisions in my business. That's why it is flourishing. Is that so? Is that so? How could you work so hard? Did you have the strength? That's how I talked one time to a neighbor in the Netherlands, and he said, oh yeah, I did it. And it was quite remarkable. Pretty soon afterwards, he had an accident with his motorbike, and he was so seriously injured that he couldn't work for a long time. It was like the Lord showed him, well, I provide strength, and if I take it away, you don't have it. If I don't give you the wisdom, the insight to make the right decisions, you don't have it. So you all have received it all from me. So that's why the Lord says it all belongs to me. Am I not allowed to have things in this world? Am I not allowed to enjoy the prosperity which I have? Are we not allowed to rejoice good food on a day like this, to rejoice in it that the Lord is providing it. That's all good. That's all allowed. But it should be with gratitude in our hearts. And it should be also in a way that we are ready to sacrifice all for the Lord. That should be the attitude for in our hearts. That we don't make it our idol. That we don't stick to it in a way that we think it belongs to me and I want more of it and we become proud about it. That's not a fear of the Lord. But that we have it in a way that we have it available for the Lord. Our time, if the Lord is calling us to a certain task, that we are willing to do it. In the church, in His kingdom, whatever. Or if we see a need that the Lord is bringing on our way, that we are willing to help. To spend our time, to use our energy and strength in His service. And our money, that attitude, and that we do it cheerfully. Think while I'm speaking that we all feel we need the Holy Spirit. We need forgiveness over the many times that we were so selfish. We have that old nature, even after receiving grace, that we are not, first thing we do, building an altar. But the first thing we do is thinking about ourselves and putting ourselves in the center. I think on this day of Thanksgiving, we also need that altar, not only for gratitude, but also for atonement. How many times did we sin in this season that is past? That we kept more for ourselves than we should. That we were thinking more about ourselves than we should. That we didn't love God above all and our neighbor like ourselves. Pastor, are you trying to depress us today? No. I try to lift you up. I try to bring you to the point that you lose all self-righteousness and all satisfaction about who you are. That you don't depend on yourself. So that you will come to the point that you see, like the publican in the temple, Lord God, be merciful unto us. And I am sure that is the greatest sacrifice. Is that not what David says in Psalm 51? God's sacrifices are a broken heart and a contrite spirit. On this day of Thanksgiving, we need a broken heart and a contrite spirit so that we will sacrifice it to the Lord, like the publican. Lord, he didn't even dare to look up. He was smoting his breast and he was standing afar. He's not like the Pharisee who's boasting in himself. He felt his need. God, be merciful unto me. I think it's the most powerful prayer, isn't it? It's not so long, but it's from the heart. That's like a sweet savor. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Do you understand that? That doesn't sound logical, isn't it? That doesn't really make sense for our human reason. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. We would expect for man is going to do better now. For Noah, he's going to make it, you know, he's going to do better. He and his family, they will live a good life now. That's why I will not curse the ground anymore and there will not be a flood again. No, that's not what it says. It says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It sounds like a contradiction. If that is true, then God has to bring more judgment over man. There's no good in man. The imagination of his heart is evil even from his youth. You would expect that God says, I'm going to destroy man. It's going to be over now. And that's not true. And that's the secret of the gospel. That God has provided a righteousness which does not come from the sight of man. You could say, yes, he created a new man. He brought his son into this world the Lord Jesus Christ, and there would not be a water flood over the world again, but he brought a flood of his wrath over his son. The waves of his anger, his righteous wrath and punishment went over the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who became real man. When he was hanging on the cross and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The ocean of the wrath of God was going over the Son of God, so that we could be delivered from the curse. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. How can you connect those two? Well, by the Son of God. There is the answer. So by faith, that is the solution of this thing here, which does not make sense for the human mind. We do not see a relation between the two. But the answer is Christ took the wrath, the curse, and the punishment, so that man would be saved. In Christ, God created a new mankind. So everybody who is fleeing to him, aware of his guilt before God, that he deserves the condemnation, but who looks to the cross, like the people in the wilderness looked to the serpent, they were healed. You will be healed. You will be saved from this judgment which you deserve, which I deserve, by faith. There is a solution which doesn't make sense for our human mind. By faith it is solved, it becomes clear. By faith we see that God is merciful, forbearing, patient, and gracious in Christ. That's the merciful faithfulness of God seen in this world. That's why the Lord could say, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God says, I will be faithful. He is the God who will not forsake the work of his hands. So now, when there is a new season, or when we are at the end of a season, when we see the winter starting, or when the summer will come, when we have a new day after a night of darkness, all these things should remind us about what God has written here. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Well, we have a day of thanksgiving today. We have to remember these words. It is the faithfulness of God, that there is a new season every year again, that God is providing a crop, that there is the heat of the summer, and there is the cold of the winter, that there is day and night. It is not because that we do so good. Be careful that you are not proud and think, yes, we are a better nation than other nations in this world. We are better people than people who starve because of famine in this world. That is certainly not true. It is God's sovereign grace. He is making a difference where no difference is. It is his faithfulness. And that should humble us. It should not make us proud, but we should ask, Lord, who am I that thou art providing while people in other countries are starving? In Yemen, their children starve, many of them. I've seen the pictures, you might have seen them as well. In other parts of this world, you would think about it. You wouldn't have the ability to feed your children, your family. Oh, that's such a deep suffering in this world, caused by sin. We should not blame God. God is just and righteous. All the suffering in this world is caused by our sin. We have to blame ourselves. We have to come at a point that we see that we have caused all this pain in the world. And then it's such a miracle that God is providing for us. If God would do to us according to our sins, we would have to starve. We would consume. But God is so merciful and so faithful. So the goodness of the Lord should lead us to conversion. And if that does not happen, what can we expect? If His many blessings will lead us personally and as a nation not to conversion, we have to fear His chastisement. Oh, let us pray for our nation, and let it be in our hearts that there is true repentance and humility before God, that we see His faithfulness, and that every new day is a miracle to us, and every new season is a miracle to us of God's patience and long suffering, and that it will lead us to conversion, and that it will lead us to looking to Christ and see the cross and see the only reason why God's blessings are received. It says that God blessed Noah and his family. And that's something that we didn't read after paradise. It's the first time that we read that again. In paradise, we read in Genesis that God blessed man. And now we have destroyed that by our sin. But here is a new start. And in Christ is a new start. A new mankind. So every day, to look to the cross, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be aware about who we are. And it's so true what the Lord Jesus says. He says it so clearly in Matthew 15. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. We see it everywhere. We see it in our nation. And we are not better. If we are kept from it, it's the mercy and the goodness of the Lord. We are inclined to look down on people and to be proud. Look, we are much better. We are church people. We are Christians. We are not behaving like them. But the seed of every sin mentioned here by the Lord Jesus is in the heart of every man. And it should not make us proud if we are not fallen in openly doing those things. It should make us humble and say, Lord, it's thy goodness that thou hast kept me from doing all these things that are in the heart. And then to be humbled and look to Christ and see that in Him we find peace with God. And He took the flood of the wrath of God. Oh, to have an altar. To build first an altar of gratitude. Can you understand it? Is that the attitude of your heart? Is that how you will live day by day? Every day again, I need an altar. I need communion with God. And it can only happen in Christ. What a joyful life. What a blessed life it is. Let it be for each of us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before Thee. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast given Thy word. We pray, Lord, that Thou would bless it in our hearts. And that Thou would be with us, Lord, this day, day of thanksgiving. That Thou would be with us every day. And that there will be an altar in our lives. And we confess, Lord, so many days. We start without seeking the altar. We are sowing. We can live so carelessly. We can live so indifferent, so self-centered, so full of the things of this world. And Lord, it can be taken away any moment. And if we don't have this treasure of the atonement by the blood of Christ, we will have nothing. And then we will have to face eternity, to stand before a holy God. without a shelter for our soul. Lord, that we may see our need, that we wouldn't delay, that we wouldn't tarry, that we wouldn't live as if we are secure while we are outside of Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou draw each of us for the first time or again to this Savior and to the altar of atonement. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts. Forgive our many sins. Be with us this day, Lord, and give us the true gratitude. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.